Welcome to A Pastoral Approach, a site of blogs and podcasts intended to help you grow and be strengthened in the one true faith of Jesus Christ as we approach the day of His coming. We trust the Lord will add His blessing to this, the teaching of His most holy word.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this evening is from the Gospel of Luke, the 23rd chapter. My dear friends in Christ, during this whole Lenten season, we have reflected upon the words spoken by Jesus as he hung upon the cross. These words were his last seven utterances before his death, spoken in his most dire of hours. On behalf of his oppressors, he interceded, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." To his mother, he said, "Woman, behold your son," and to his disciple, "Behold your mother." To the repentant thief, he promised, "Today you will be with me in paradise." To God the Father, he lamented, my God, why have you forsaken me?" In anguish, he cried, "I thirst." In triumph, he declared, "It is finished." And now in death he prays, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." This is the final word from the cross upon which we will meditate this Maundy Thursday as we look forward even to his death tomorrow. This word from Jesus is so appropriate even for today as our Lord institutes his meal this night. Yet he's reminded of all that is to come and all that is in his Father's hands. Not only the plan of salvation, but the will of God hinges upon the death of Jesus. Jesus, the dutiful Son of God, then places all of his trust into his Father's hands, even as he knows everything that he himself must bear. This is the last utterance of the seven, spoken with Jesus' dying breath. It's a prayer. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." It may not surprise you, or maybe it will, I don't know, that this isn't the first time these words have been spoken. In fact, they have been expressed daily by thousands of people. And the reason is that these words really compose what is the most common bedtime prayer of the Jews in the first century. It's a guy named William Barclay. He writes this: "Jesus died with a prayer on his lips. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." It's Psalm 31:5, with one word added: "Father." That verse was the prayer every Jewish mother taught her child to say last thing at night, just as we were taught maybe to say, "This night I lay me down to sleep." So the Jewish mother taught her child to say, before the threatening dark came down, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." This is one of the most well-known prayers of Jesus' day. It's a nighttime prayer comparable to the one that we learned in our childhood. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord." Even today, some bedtime prayers sound very similar to Jesus' prayer from the cross. Luther, in his evening prayer, he includes this line: "Into thy hands I commend myself, my body and soul and..." Very good. Some of the older folks, that's all right. Our younger folks, you need to learn that prayer. It's good. Accordingly, Jesus' last words before he closes his eyes in death are those of a bedtime prayer. Barclay observes, "Even on a cross, Jesus died like a child falling asleep in his Father's arms." This final prayer, these last words from Jesus on the cross, they tell us much about his death, but they also speak richly about our deaths when we die in him. First, in this prayer, Jesus addresses God as Father. These are words. It's a word of affection and trust. Jesus now entrusts himself to the Father following his complete and utter abandonment The judgment of God is complete. Jesus' mission is accomplished. Humanity's sin is atoned for. And so Christ commits himself to his Father for final vindication through resurrection. In his final breath, Jesus lays claim to this relationship with God as the only begotten Son of the Father. And the result is indeed a blessed one for us. It means that our Father can now accept us into his presence because of the price paid by his Son. We're now restored to a right relationship with the Father, both now and at the hour of our death. Second, so very meaningful are the words, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." Jesus quotes the 31st Psalm, a psalm of trust in God. We see Jesus entrusting himself into the hands of the Father. He had done that in life. Now he does it in death. In this darkest moment, Jesus trusts his Heavenly Father. You're probably familiar with a national insurance agency's jingle. Simply stated, the advertisement is going to promise you, you're in good hands with Allstate. Now, the slogan wants you to believe that by signing up with Allstate, you're going to be protected and cared for in all times of catastrophe and calamity. But there are even better hands. Because Lord knows, an insurance company is going to fail you time and time again. Sorry to those of you who work in insurance. There are better hands to put yourself in. They're the Father's hands. The best of hands. Supporting and caring and protecting in times of wealth and in times of woe, and especially at the time of death. Those are the hands that Jesus placed himself into. Those are the hands that we place ourselves into. We entrust ourselves to the Father in every circumstance. I mean, today, right now, you can place your cares and your concerns into God's strong hands. And the problems that you face in life, broken relationships, or poor health, or financial hardship, temptation to sin, these can all be entrusted to God. And finally, like Jesus, at the moment of your death, you can place yourself into God's secure and sheltering arms. As the familiar hymn states, you can put yourself in the cleft of his hand. It says, "While I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyelids close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne, rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." Lastly, these final words of Jesus on the cross, they inform us about his death and ours. And he says, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." It's his spirit which immediately goes to be with the Father at the moment of death. Physical death is not a good thing, not really. It's something that never was intended to happen. As Christians, we see it as a portal to be with our Jesus from this sin-filled world. But physical death does something to you that never was intended to happen. It separates your soul from your body. The physical body is taken, and the physical body is, by the way, still you. And it's taken and it's put into a tomb, or it's lowered into the ground, or perhaps you might even be cremated. But the spirit, the soul, has departed. And the spirit and soul also is still you. In the case of Christ, Christ goes to be, in essence, with the Father. And so the spirits also of those who die with faith in Christ depart at the time of physical death to go and be with God. You can be assured that your loved ones who have died in the faith are now at peace and they are at rest with God. But we know death is not the end. It's not what God intends as the final condition of his saints. You're not just going to be some spirit wandering around in heaven. There awaits for you a reuniting of spirit and body at the resurrection. Because Jesus did this. His reuniting took place Easter morning when he rose physically from the dead. The resurrected Lord was no ghost, no phantom. He was fully and gloriously restored as a human being with a body and a soul. And so it is with us. When we die, our spirits indeed go to be with God. And our bodies are laid to rest in the ground. And those bodies are going to decay and they're going to disintegrate. They're going to become dust and ashes. But when Jesus comes again, in his glorious reappearing, then he shall bring with him all of the spirits of those who died in the faith. And our bodies will then be raised and gloriously restored, and our spirits will be reunited to those bodies, never to be separated again. We will be fully restored, as God always intended us to be, whole, with body and soul. What happened to Jesus in his death and his resurrection, both, will happen to us. And it will happen to us only because it happened to Jesus first. His death, then, gives us confidence when we face death. His resurrection assures the future resurrection of our bodies. During these 40 days of Lent, we've listened to 7 statements from the cross. These are what we're calling cross words. The last of the final words of Christ, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." It tells us a lot. It is the culmination of Lent. And that is the death of Christ. These words tell us that he has completed his mission of delivering humanity from sin and death. They tell us that in death, as in life, he entrusts himself fully to the Father. They tell us that his spirit at death went to be with his Father, awaiting its restoration Easter morning with his glorified body. Remember that tomorrow, okay? But as I can't guarantee what's going to happen to any of us as we leave here tonight, I don't know. Car could come headlong into you. Or it could be like just down south a little bit, down by Detroit Lakes. It could be that a tanker truck hits a train and explodes and a town has to be evacuated. And thankfully no one's been hurt, but you don't know what could happen. Remember these tonight too. Jesus' final words speak to us about our deaths. We don't need to fear facing God at our death, because we have been restored to him in a right relationship through the work of Christ, even as it begins this evening. We can entrust ourselves to God's strong and protecting hands, both in life now and in death. And we are assured that at the moment of our death, our spirits will go and be with God until the time in which they're reunited in the day of resurrection of all flesh. And that's because Jesus breathed his last upon the cross for us. Peter Marshall tells the story of a young child he knew who died with assurance of being in his heavenly Father's arms. He writes this: "In a home of which I know, a little boy, the only son, was ill with an incurable disease. Month after month, the mother tenderly nursed him, read to him, played with him, hoping to keep him from realizing the dreadful reality of the doctor's diagnosis. But as the weeks went on and he grew no better, the little fellow gradually began to understand that he would never be like the other boys he saw playing outside his window. And small as he was, he began to understand the meaning of the term death, and he too knew that he was to die. One day he asked the question that had been weighing on his childish heart, 'Mother, what is it like to die? Mother, does it hurt?' Quick tears sprang to her eyes, and she breathed a hurried prayer that the Lord would keep her from breaking down before the boy and would tell her how to answer him. Immediately she knew how to explain it to him. "Kenneth," she said, "you remember when you were a tiny boy how you used to play so hard all day that when night came you would be too tired even to undress and you'd tumble into mother's bed and fall asleep. That wasn't your bed. It wasn't where you belonged. And you would only stay there a little while. In the morning, much to your surprise, you would wake up and find yourself in your own bed, in your own room. You were there because someone had loved you and taken care of you. Your father had come with big, strong arms, and he carried you away. Kenneth, death is just like that. You just wake up some morning to find ourselves in the other room, our own room where we belong, because the Lord Jesus loved us." And the lad's shining, trusting face looking up into hers told her that the point had gone home and that there would be no more fear, only love and trust in his little heart as he went to meet the Father in heaven. He never questioned again. And several weeks later, he fell asleep, as she had said. Tonight, as you go from this place, strengthened in God's word and his sacrament, remembering your baptisms and the way that Jesus delivers his cross to you there, washing you in his blood, in the way that you heard the words of absolution, forgiving you of all of your sins, and the way that even as you ate and drank the true body and blood of Jesus Christ, strengthening you unto eternal life, as you close your eyes tonight, know this. You are safe in your Father's hands. And maybe let this prayer be on your lips. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. It is a child's prayer at bedtime, but it's the prayer of the saints. You will be prepared for death. For if you are baptized into Christ's death, you are also raised into newness of life with him. If you eat and drink the crucified Jesus, you shall also rise as he is risen. You are ready. And Jesus himself was ready to die. The moment had come. At the moment of his death, Jesus prayed, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." So also we pray to God at this time and at the hour of our death, when we lay upon our deathbed, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Louis Polzine. I'm glad you've joined us as we've made our way through the scriptures. If you're in the Bemidji, Minnesota area and you're looking for a new church home or just have questions, I encourage you to contact us at Trinity in Bemidji at 218-444-4441. The Lord Jesus Christ be with you now and always.